As always, thanks for listening in today to our Friday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
The table points to the fact that our sustenance, the bread that's going to be on there, is because of Jesus, is because of Christ. In Exodus 25, verse 30, it says, "You shall set the showbread on the table before me always." Hence, showbread. Show me the bread always. We call it showbread, but the actual Hebrew word is just bread. Lechem. Means bread. It means food. It's the words that come after this word that makes the bread significant. Before me is the Hebrew word panim. It's a noun, but it's in the plural form. It means faces. In other words, the lechem is a bread of faces. Also called the bread that is before me, or the bread of his presence. Okay? So it's the bread of faces towards me always, or the bread of faces before me always. It's called showbread because this is the bread to be shown to God always. And look what it represents. I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 24. Here we're going to show the bread that's in the tabernacle. The only bread that's in the tabernacle goes on the table of showbread. Okay? And here in verse 5, it says, "You shall take fine flour, bake 12 cakes with it, 2/10 of the ephah shall be in each cake, and you shall set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord." Does your Bible there have gold kind of like italicized? Yeah, because that's not there. And the reason why you know that that's not there is because the table of showbread is not of pure gold, is it? It's acacia wood, then gold. Okay? So they put it in there, but they really shouldn't have done that. So on the pure table, it is a pure table though, but it doesn't mean pure gold. Okay? Before the Lord. "And you shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord." So you bring in the bread, you put it there on every Sabbath. "Continually being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be for..." What are you going to do with all that bread? What do you do with it week after week? Right here. "It shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy to him from the offering of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute." The Mishnah would tell you, and the rabbis would tell you, this bread was so good, and when they first brought it out, it's warm, it smells great and everything else. By the seventh day, it was just as warm and smelled just as good as if it just came out of the oven. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they say. So this showbread consists of 12 loaves, but look what it says here in verse 5. You have 12 cakes with it, and it's set in 2 rows. Why 12, and why is it set in 2 rows? We have just seen that showbread means lechem, okay, and it is bread of faces. It also means the bread of his presence. Both meanings are very significant. First, the bread of his presence would signify that God is in the bread, which makes sense because we read in John 6, verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven." That's Jesus. "And gives life to the world." That's Jesus. "I'm the way, the truth, and life," Jesus said. Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." So the bread here in this holy place speaks of Jesus. He is in the bread. He is in the bread. Secondly, the bread also represents faces or people. And since the bread was before the face of God always, this tells us that there's only one way to be able to face God or be in front of God always. That makes us acceptable to him. That would represent Jesus, which we have just seen. The bread represents also, we see 12 cakes being made. Why 12? Well, I would submit to you that it represents the 12 tribes of Israel. Why are those 12 tribes of Israel acceptable before God? Because of what is in the bread. It represents Jesus. Jesus. Interesting that the word for cakes there is a Hebrew word, challah. And it means cake, but it's from the root word, chalel, which means pierced, perforated, punctured. Interesting. Theological word book of the Old Testament says the word means slain or fatally wounded. This root word here is the same word that we read in Isaiah 53:5, speaking of the Messiah Jesus. He was wounded, chalel, for our transgressions, punctured, pierced. He was bruised for our iniquities, chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. So these cakes, this showbread, is pierced. It's perforated. It is punctured. This speaks of Jesus. And these 12 loaves are punctured, and they represent the 12 tribes. But Dave, the 12 tribes hasn't received, Israel hasn't received Jesus as their Messiah. That's true. Interesting, in Zechariah 12:10, there's a future time when they will. And so Zechariah 12:10 says, "And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced." Punctured. Wow. So then this pierced, punctured bread represents the Messiah, and that the 12 tribes at Israel will soon come to know their Messiah. However, there's two rows. They represent two groups of people, different yet the same. Two groups represented by the 12. First is Israel, represented by the 12 tribes. But then you have Paul, who says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread, one body, for we all partake of that one bread," Jews and Gentiles, "as the church." And so this second group is the church, represented by the 12 apostles. You have the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, all put their faith in that bread that represents Jesus who has been pierced. So one group, the Jews, represented by the 12 tribes. The second group, the church, represented by the 12 apostles. And both will feast upon the work of the Messiah, the Christ. Both feast upon the pierced bread that represents Christ. We are all one bread, one body. We all partake of that one bread, Christ. And it's interesting that every loaf is the same size. I would submit to you that it's God's covenant people all have equal standing before God. And so, again, in going back to Leviticus 24:7, and then it says, "And you shall put pure frankincense on each row, and that it may be on the bread for memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord." So pure frankincense was placed on each row of the showbread. Now I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 2. Go over here to 2 Corinthians 2. In 2 Corinthians 2, we're told something about we as the church, who we're supposed to be. And starting in verse 15, it says, "We," speaking of the church, "for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved, among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Not only does the showbread again not only represents Christ, but us as well. The frankincense in us is fragrance or witness to the rest of the world. The interesting thing about frankincense is that the frankincense, the aroma is not released unless you crush it or burn it. Speaks of persecution is what that speaks of. Speaks of affliction. And I would submit to you, your testimony is probably at its brightest, has the greatest aroma when you're going through affliction and difficult times. That's when we're supposed to show that we're different. They need to be able to see joy of the Lord. But you're going through this. I know, but I have Jesus. What's the big deal? I have the Lord. Yeah, but this could lead to what? Me continuing to be a light for God as I go down this direction? Yeah, that's what he's called us to do. 7 days the bread was before the Lord, then the priestly order ate of it in the holy place. So it is a priestly order that partakes of this bread. Well, we are of the priesthood of believers. That's us. 1 Peter 2:9, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are the priesthood of believers. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's that aroma. They should sense that aroma. We proclaim to people who once were not a people but are now the people of God. I was lost, but now I have been found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's us. We're the priesthood of the believers now. We now come to the communion table. We now feast upon the word of God, which is who? Jesus. He is the bread of life. That is what we're eating. That is what nourishes us, is the word of God. The bread of life is right here. Genesis through Revelation is Jesus. He is the bread of life. We read, we devour, we get to know what the word of God says. Now, I want you to go back to Exodus 25 here. Again, verse 24 says, and you shall overlay it with pure gold and make molding of gold all around. You shall make for it a frame of the handbreadth all around, and you shall make gold molding for the frame all around. Again, the crown border on the top of the table was a purpose for protection, so the bread doesn't fall off. Okay. As they're picking it up and everything else, it doesn't just slide off. It will hit, you know, the crown there. It's interesting to me that when it comes to giving measurements in God's word, it's always with the tabernacle and the furnishing, it's always with cubits, except for this one place we're told it's a handbreadth. Why a handbreadth? Why couldn't you have said a sixth of a cubit, you know? Well, I think it's because it speaks of that security. And there's a scripture that in mind that comes to my mind when I'm thinking about that security, when Jesus would say himself, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Tells us that, again, protection. Just like David when he was talking about Mephibosheth, guess what? You're going to be like one of my kids. You are going to be like one of the king's kids. You are now family. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what does it say in John 1:12? Whoever receives him becomes what? A child of God. You're part of the family now. Your family. Yeah, your family. But in a good way, you know. In a good way. And so, but it does speak of protection, and God is going to protect you. God is going to protect you. And so, so again, God is concerned about the preservation of his people, what he allows into their lives so they could be that aroma, that fragrance. But if you're communing at the table, if you're constantly in the word of God, if you're submitting yourself to what God wants for you and things like that, you can know that what this day brings your way has been ordained by God. That he's allowed it to happen because you have been raised up for such a time as this. could be a personal difficulty. It could be some medical thing that you're going through. It could be some tragedy in the way of losing a job or losing a loved one or whatever. But if you're walking and you're at that communion table, God is with you. And you were created for such a time as that, so you could show the joy of your salvation, even in the most difficult situation. Verse 26 says, "And you shall make for it four rings of gold. Put the rings on the four corners that are its four legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them." They carry the table of showbread, does not touch the ground. It represents that they are pilgrims, that they are sojourners in the land that is not their home until they get to the promised land. And so where the ark stopped, that is where they will be. Wherever God leads, they are not home yet, but wherever he leads, he's going to carry you to that place where you'll eventually be home and it could rest once and for all. That speaks of us. We are pilgrims. We are strangers. We are sojourners. We are foreigners. We are aliens in this land. Peter would say in 1 Peter 1:1, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia." Peter calls them pilgrims, which means resident aliens or strangers or foreigners. It's interesting that Paul would tell us in Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." This is not our home. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. This isn't my home. I'm not of this world. I'm in it. I'm in it for a reason. There's purpose and meaning to be a light and a witness to others, to be that aroma, that fragrance, that light for other people to see. My life has tremendous purpose and meaning, because when you see your life in the person of Jesus and what Jesus has done for you, it makes you want to go, "What can I now do for you?" Well, you can be a light and a witness, and you can show the joy of your salvation and your gratitude of heart for what I've done for you by being that light, no matter what the circumstances come upon you in your lifetime. Knowing that this is not your home, that your home is still a little further out. And what an amazing home it's going to be, because I go to prepare a place for you. And so God has been preparing a place for you. Jesus himself, "I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you will also go. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms." And so there's this amazing mansion room that is waiting for every single one of us. And when we get there, we're going, "Man, my attitude on earth, oh man, had I only known." Well, you do know. "Yeah, but I didn't know it was going to be like this." Well, you should know it's going to kind of be like this, because I'm God and I have this wow factor about me, and I'm going to make it a whole lot nicer than you can even imagine. So imagine the nicest thing that you could possibly inhabit, way better. And if you know you're heading that way, yes, there are difficulties here, but that should carry you through the day, knowing that you're being a light and a witness, and this is not your home. And it should be seen by others. And because you have that attitude, people should look at it and go, "That's weird. That's strange." Yeah, and that's exactly what Peter says in 1 Peter 4:1. He says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind." If Jesus suffered in the flesh with the situations and personally to his flesh and everything else, we need to have the same mindset. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. "For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." That doesn't mean that you don't sin. What it means is that you're so preoccupied with what the Lord is doing. Okay, you're not going to have time for the things of the world. "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, sinning by the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. Have we not? Just look at your life right now. Look at everything that's led up to it. Have we not wasted enough time with the things of the world? With the things of the Gentiles? And then he lists them. In lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In regards to these, they think it's strange you do not run with them. They think it's strange you don't participate with them anymore in those things that they did. They think it's strange you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation with the same excitement. And now they speak evil of you. When you come to Christ, it's because you were going this way, things of the world, the ways of the world. You come to Christ, you realize all that he's done for you, that there is God, that he died for you, that he loves you, and he wants to walk with you, and he wants to change you, make you Christ-like. You realize going this way doesn't promote that anymore. So now you do. You repent. And now it's a different way. And they're running that way. You go, hey, how come you're not with us anymore? Guy's so weird. They think it's strange. And the reason why they think it's strange is because you're a stranger in this world. And they should think it's strange. They think it's strange that you come here to actually hear the word of God, have the word of God spoken to you, taught to you, to sing worship and praise to God. They think it's weird that you're here right now. They think it's weird when you go to a Bible study at 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning for the men. They think it's weird when you go to other things, a baptism. Why would you do that? Why are you going to that? They think it's weird. You go to Bible study? You study the Bible. You go to a community group and you just discuss what you were taught on Sunday? Really? Look at all these times that you do things with this church. It's so weird. Why would you do that? We're going to happy hour. Why don't you join us? Well, because I have Bible study. What? How cool is that? You're working somewhere. And they say, hey, you want to go to happy hour? I go, no, I got women's Bible study going tonight. What? I'm going to a community group. What? I'm going to the church because, what? It's strange to them. It's strange to them. Let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 11. One of my favorite areas is the Hall of Faith here, and we're just going to be able to read a little bit about Abraham here. In verse 8, it said, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. You got to leave Ur. Cross over the river Euphrates and go into this land that you know nothing about. And he went out. Not knowing where he was going. Okay. Where am I going to land? He wasn't told that. Just cross over the river. I'll let you know as you're going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country. He was promised from him would come a mighty nation and nations in plural. He never saw that happen. Matter of fact, he wandered for a while, kind of going, you know, he promised me a descendant. It really hasn't happened yet. And then they had the whole Hagar thing, trying to help God with his promise. But he goes, no, that's not it. It's still coming. What? I'm getting older. By the time it comes, he's 100. Neither death nor even life.
Let nothing ever separate. This Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love has come to a close. Don't miss Monday as we continue our study through Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids' ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30. right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.